Let's get into our word this morning. Who's looking forward to being transformed by the word of God? Yeah, come on. Yeah. Is that you, Reese? Mate, you're just a big kid, aren't you? Watch that thing is on Facebook about the camp. You know, I've got to tell you this. And I do have to preach at some point, but you know, 17 young people gave their hearts to Christ on Friday night. Our school ministries, there is so much potential. And I know my daughter's been having a number of girls ring her and just say thank you. These are unchurched kids by, you know. That's why we got to keep doing what we do. That's why we got to keep warfaring. Well, we've got to keep breaking through in the spirit. If things seem a bit slow to start, help us by worshipping, really. Because we're going to break the power of the enemy over this area. Over Wellard, see people won into the kingdom of God, accept Jesus, and have their very best life. Come on! Yeah! So good. So good. I want to share with you from the Message Bible this morning, 1 Chronicles 29. We're in the middle of our, in fact, it's our last Sunday for Our Story, Our Future, which is our building offering for our church. But please don't switch off if you're just visiting. I'm sure there's something that you will get out of this message, no matter who you are this morning. But for our church, it's wonderful to have a fantastic facility. And I just want to preach from 1 Chronicles 29, and it says to start, and this is in the Message Bible before we put the PowerPoint up, but you can go to, yeah, oh, you've already got it, okay. Then David the king addressed the congregation. My son Solomon was singled out and chosen by God to do this, but he's young and untested, and the work is huge. And then it says, this is not a place for people, for people to meet each other, but a place for God to meet us. A place for God to meet us. And at some point in our lives, we are like Solomon. Maybe you're not so young, but you're young in Christ because you've received Jesus. It's never too late to accept Jesus as Lord of your life. Maybe you are young, but at some point you're largely untested like Solomon. And I was one of these young men. Pastor Frank Holgren, Darren's dad at C3 Crawley, passed away on Sunday, the February 14. Some of us went to the funeral just last week. And Pastor Frank, those of you who knew him, even if you don't, you'll get enough of the story this morning that he pioneered the Pentecostal church in Western Australia to a great degree with a couple of other men. If you know your history on Pentecostal movement, there probably would have been Charles Greenwood and Pastor Frank and a couple of others, like I was saying. And my story is this, and I believe it would be fair to say that my mum and dad, and so my brother and I, my brother's still a part of C3 Hepburn Heights. In fact, he's coming next weekend to be a part of our 20th celebration. And my brother and I don't think we would be, and maybe my whole family would not be in the kingdom of God if it had not been for Pastor Frank's reverence for the Lord and his incredible insight into the Word of God. Now, my dad took a long time to be serious about church, about loving Jesus. But he simply couldn't deny the power and touch of God that was on Pastor Frank's life. And eventually, I remember him telling me this not long before he died, because my dad's been dead for 20 years, so this is quite real and true to me. And eventually, he became a committed disciple of Jesus. You know, dads play such an important role in the spiritual maturity of the home and the family. Male role models, which we're going to need more of as our church increases with young people that don't have family, are vital in the kingdom of God. And having Jesus in our lives does not make men weak. It makes them strong and secure in who they are. And Pastor Frank was a man of prayer. A man determined to bring freedom through Christ to those he pastored. He married Andrew and I in 1987. On a number of occasions when our church was in its infancy, our church here was in its infancy. We were called Port Community Church back then. He would give me a word from God, Pastor Frank. He would have been in his 60s then. And he gave me some encouragement for my future. And I am grateful for men like Frank in my life. If there was one thing Frank taught me over the years, it was that being serious with God would bring freedom for me, my family, and our future. He once gave me this word from God before Andrew and I were married, which at the time was really difficult to understand and comprehend. This is what he said, that I would be a pastor alongside his son, lead others, and have influence because of my education, particularly in other countries and at home. At the time, I was 18 years old, by the way. I didn't want to be a pastor. I couldn't see how me and his son could do anything spiritual together. And the education part, well, I didn't really want to do so well at school. And so that couldn't possibly be right. How wrong I was. It took over 2 decades. But he had heard from God. I became a pastor. I went to university and got a master's degree. I still don't know how, but I did. And I pastor alongside Darren Holgren. Both of us, our families are great friends. And we belong to C3 WA. Yeah, come on, you can give the Lord a hand. It's such an amazing thing. And so I wanted to say that for this reason. Our story, our future is about the difference Jesus makes in our lives. He is our best life. The church is the vehicle that frees us to be all we can be in Him. There is an incredible power that comes from His house into our lives. In the Message Bible, it says this. I'll try the... There we go. David says, the church is... Is that the right one? Yeah. It's actually Paul, the Apostle Paul speaking. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. I am eternally grateful for my journey of faith. And those around me who have inspired me to keep going when we embrace what Christ has done. We are truly grateful for His life. And in that respect, it becomes easy to give willingly. Now, on your seats, there's an orange card. There should be one on nearly every seat. Just take it for a moment, because at the end of this meeting, I would love us, there's a pen on every second chair, to fill in this form. Over the next 12 months, I'm just preparing you. I'm going to keep preaching, but just so that you're aware that there's a purpose here this morning. The New King James Version starts this passage by saying, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, furthermore, God is a God of more." I said, God is a God of more. He's not a God of less. Yes, we can walk through some difficult situations, but He's always there, and the outcome is always surprising because He does more than we expect. There's more joy in knowing Him. There's more purpose for our lives. There's more peace. There's more health. There's more love. He has made us a new creation, and we are being transformed by him. He gives us a heart and willingness to give freely and joyfully. And David is clear in this passage of Scripture about centering himself in the purposes of God. And as a church, through this particular offering that we do over a 12-month period where we commit our finances above our tithe, we are centering ourselves in the will of God. There is nothing greater than the church. Some of you aren't sure. Christ died for it. There's nothing greater than the church. I said, guys, there's nothing greater than his house. David says this, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God. We set our affection, like David did, on the house of God. It's where God dwells. It's where our life comes from. It's where our marriages get stronger. It's where our relationships form, that we can have real friendships that last regardless of what we do. Because God's love never fails. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that David is in his retirement. Now, think of what people do with their retirement these days. And he's saying, now I can do all the things I have wanted to do. When we serve him, there are purposeful projects, buildings, new ventures he has for us to accomplish. We are centered around building his house. You can't get away from it. It's his life, building the house of God. And so buildings play a major role in the recovery of the church. And so I am leading us into Wellard, and I expect in time to have our own facility there as well. A place people know they can go to and worship him. And someone always has to step up and believe for more. It's our story, our future. And so why should we have a story to tell? It's a good question, Nigel. Why should we have a story to tell? Well, apart from the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, Mark 16. His church is the place we encounter God in our lives. And like my family who came to Christ through a dedicated servant of the house of God, a man prepared to live him all of his days, it is because of men who do their best to live the life of Jesus, and we do our best. We do our best. We're not God, we do our best. We do our best to live the life of Jesus, that our world is transformed one life at a time. Ezekiel 37:1. There's an amazing little story there. And it says this, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And God placed us in Fremantle. It was dry. Hope was lost. It was seemingly impossible. You know, there is a spiritual warfare for every person that comes into the kingdom of God. Things are dry. God puts life into us, breathes his life, and things start to come alive, and he forms a little body, and that body grows larger, and then there's C3 Fremantle. Is anyone pleased about that? Ezekiel 37:13 says this, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. See, something may be dead in your life today. It may be due to your environment and upbringing that you have little hope, but God can breathe on you and bring new life. When God breathes on you, it's not going to stay the same, that situation or thing in your life. He breathes life into your finances. He breathes life into your inner being. He breathes life into that circumstance. He gives you revelation as you read the Word of God, and it transforms you to be greater in Him than you've ever been before. It's a journey of stepping up in Him all the days of your life. It happens through His church. Ezekiel 37:14, it says, I will put my spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you. Shout it out with me. I will put my spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you. And you shall live. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Come on. And I will place you in your own land. I will place you in Fremantle. I'll place you in Wellard. I'll place you in Liberia. I'll place you in China. I'll place you in your own land. And the house of God will be built wherever His people go. And He will breathe life into new people, and new people will come alive in Him. And today, as a church, we are believing for more life. We are believing for the dead bones and the dead graves and those things and those kids that have no purpose and meaning to their life right now, who think that everything is purposeless, gain the purpose they need in Christ. He's alive. And so the church plays such an important role in our lives and our future. And Jesus has gone to the right hand of the Father and given us a responsibility to be His angels on this earth. And I love what the Bible says next in respect to His disciples, that He's commissioned them. And they went out and preached everywhere. Fremantle campus, Wellard campus, West Africa, Philippines, Port Care, Connect groups, locally and internationally, they went out. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. The amen is important. So be it for you and you and you and you and you and you. Can anyone grab a hold of the significance of the house of God this morning? And how it needs to be led well? And how sometimes we've just got to push through barriers and spiritual things that come against us so that His name will be proclaimed throughout the earth. And so someone has to be a pioneer. Someone has to lead the way. And when you are convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world, you will build your life around His church. Being a Christian is being in church because Christ is the head of His church. And you will recognize the importance of church facilities in our communities and how important they are for our future and for the future DNA of every community. And someone had to go into Fremantle and put a stake in the ground and live out the purposes of God. We're going to celebrate that next week. And that someone is you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here. See, David has given us one of the clearest examples in the Bible on the subject of building a house for God and how it is to be achieved. Ready and willing, the heads of families, leaders of tribes of Israel, commanders and captors in the army, stewards of the king's affairs, stepped forward and gave willingly. It goes on, they gave 5,000 talents, which is 188 tons, and 10,000 darics, 185 pounds of gold. 10,000 talents of silver, which is 377 tons. 18,000 talents of bronze, which is 679 tons of bronze. 3,775 tons of iron was given on that day. And anyone who had precious jewels put them in the treasury for the building of the temple of God in the custody of Jeiel, which was the accountant of the day. She had a big job. And the people were full of a sense of celebration. All that giving, the Bible says, and all giving willingly and freely. And King David was exuberant. Here's the facts. There was an incredible generosity in Israel to pay for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And David led the way, and the fathers and princes and commanders and overseers gave gold, silver, brass, and iron. Everyone who had precious stones gave them to Jehiel. They're the facts. There was an enormous generosity. Money had come in. There was enough to build the temple. There was enough to eliminate all debt. We do our story, our future, because we're going to believe that God will eliminate all debt. We're grateful for what we have, but there's more work to be done in the kingdom of God. And then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. Are you picking something up here? They offered willingly. They were not coerced. Yes, they were led. But they were not made to. They made choices. And what compels such great giving? And what matters is not what we see with the eye. What matters is the great invisible reality of our God. I didn't know how I was going to put food on my table, but God came through for me. I've heard some of your stories. I didn't know how I was going to pay those bills, but as I placed my trust in God, as I began to tithe, as hard and as difficult as it was, I saw that God looked after me. I didn't know how I was going to stay married. But God showed me a way to love my spouse and not hold on to offense. I had a serious condition, but God healed me. I was anxious, but now I'm calm. I was emotionally unstable, but His truth has set me free. I was weak, but now I'm strong. I had no job, I had no future, but now I have both. Glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what really happens as we commit our lives to God and the building of His house is that God reveals Himself to us. And the people gave willingly and freely. And our God is before all things and He is in all things. And in Him all things hold together, all things. We stand in awe of God. David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. He's declaring that Jesus, that the Lord is over everything. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, oh my... Oh, I won't, I'll stop. It means to say, true and amazingly wonderful things about Him that accounts for some of those things that happen in your world every day. There's got to be good news on our lips because Christ is the head of our home. It's got to be good news on our lips when we go to work. And it might be a hard day, but then something happens that we know is the Lord. there's a problem in one of our kids at school, but then God breaks through and we know that he's changed that situation. Who's grateful for their God today? There's an interesting, it's a song really, at the end of this passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles 29, where they declare the goodness of their God and they say this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power." Rob, why don't you come and join me on the keyboard this morning? "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory." It goes on, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, O Lord." This is after this magnificent offering. And David has the people singing this amazing song. And then he says, "And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one over all things." And in 1 Chronicles 29:16, he says, "Riches and honor come from you alone." He is the source of all riches and honor that come to any man, woman, or child. From a human standpoint, the riches and honor come from an inheritance, a good stock market, shrewd real estate, whatever it is. Maybe just plain hard work. But David says, no, riches come from God. Whatever we have comes from God. Our story, our future, is the story of how great our God is in our lives. In 29:14, David says, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you have already given us." God has given us our hope and our future. He has freed our future. He deserves our best. And even though we don't deserve to be helped, he helped us. His mercies are endless. They're new every morning. David finally says in verse 17, "I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously." The people made the choice to give. And David saw his son with a heart after God's will and desires. He saw a people committed to God's will and desires above their own. What a joy that brings. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "Through this house we have the greatest potential. And others may see it from a purely natural perspective, but David saw it from a faith perspective, just like Pastor Frank saw in me. When we really put our life on the line with God, when we really allow him to lead him with the promptings that he puts by his Spirit into ours, wow, we go, thank you, Lord, for the amazing work you're doing in my life. It's the unseen realm that truly makes a difference in our lives. And David was not simply talking about building a building through his son Solomon, rather the ongoing building of God's house through God's people. And that's the opportunity we have today. You see, he says, God says to David, God says to David at that point, "You will have a son, and his kingdom will last forever." He wasn't referring to Solomon. He was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, we live and breathe and have our being. I will establish His kingdom forever. Jesus was the ultimate David. He didn't just give us this temple at the cost of His money, but at the cost of His life. For in Him we live and move and have our being. This is our story and it's our future. What will you do with this story today? What will you do with your future today? Because we have this opportunity to believe for the extension and the facilities of this great house and the furthering of the kingdom of God by establishing solid foundations and buildings wherever and however long I'm leading this church. I'm trusting that we're going to have more facilities. Pay down debt. Andrea said a few weeks ago, it's not sexy paying off debt. But think of the future that that does. Wellard would not be happening if we weren't able to fund it. Give God the glory for our consistent giving to the house of God in this area of our lives. And so there's a promise card. Why don't you take a moment, if you need to, just to fill that out this morning. So you know what? I want to give freely and willingly. This is not a once-off offering, although you can do that today. The ushers are going to be ready in a moment. If you would like to give a one-off offering, that's beautiful too. But this is saying, my God means everything to me. I put Him first in my life. This is our story and it's our future. I'm glad to be involved in the greatest organization in the world. The church. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. He's alive. He's alive. Make Him alive in your life and see what God does to bring miracles into your world over this next 12-month period. Starts in April, goes through to March, end of March next year. Just give it a few more moments before we collect our cards this morning. A moment, we're going to close our service. If you'd like some prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. In just a moment. Let's pray before we take up these cards and offering this morning. And may I say, just before we do pray, that if you need to consider this with your spouse, it's a free offering. You can do this in the next weeks coming ahead if you're not ready today. Please don't feel like you need to do this morning. What do you allow? That's okay. You can bring it in the next couple of weeks. But we've been doing this for, you know, it's important to be in church. This is our third week now. We've got a plan and move forward, so that's why we're doing this offering today. I will build His church and I will have my best life. It's what David said in a nutshell. So Father, today we pray that there would be a spirit, Father, that rises up, Lord, from this house, Fremantle campus. Lord, that propels our future and the lives that are going to be transformed as we continue to build His house and make a difference in our world. Thank you, Lord, that we can be led by You in this. And we freely, willingly give to extend the kingdom through building churches, building great facilities, upkeeping great facilities, because we cannot outdo you, Lord. You're our all. Thank you, God. People of God said, amen. Let's take up our